Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Daniel Kelm of Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida. Pastor Kelm, welcome to His Time.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. Appreciate it.
I look forward to studying God's Word with you today. Tell me about your congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida.
Well, it's a very unique congregation. We are right on the outside of the Villages in Florida, which is a huge retirement community of about 120,000 people. So our average age, Andy, is 76. But that might make you think this is a dying congregation. It's anything but. We have 1,000 members. We're 20 years old. We've been growing rapidly. And people don't come down to Florida to die. They come down to live. We have very, very active members. And we have one of the most evangelically sharing congregations I've ever had the privilege of working with.
Well, thanks be to God for your vibrant congregation of Trinity in Summerfield, Florida, right outside the Villages there. We are in Matthew chapter 4 today, verses 12 through 25. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
As you look at this, you see the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it covers a wide range of things, but it talks about how he begins his preaching and teaching and healing ministry. And very, very exciting, because Matthew, who's writing for Jews, gives you the bigger sweep of what Jesus is doing and takes you out to the world with what Jesus is doing.
All right, let's take a look at verses 12 through 16. We'll get started with that and we'll get started with these first few verses here. If you have a question or a comment today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Pastor?
Yeah, it's very interesting that Jesus does this, but we don't know why. We know that God's timing is perfect. He always said, "My time has not yet come," and so he knows that it's time for him to move up to Galilee and share the message. And again, as I mentioned, Matthew is talking about this bigger sweep now as Jesus also impacts Gentiles. I think this text is not so much an exegetical study as it is a geographical study. Jesus leaves Nazareth, that very little town, and as you, probably people are aware, he was probably not a carpenter. He was most likely a stone worker and was in the area right around the major town of Sepphoris, where he and his father may have traveled about 5 kilometers northwest of Nazareth, may have gone there to do their work. But now he goes up to Galilee, and it's very interesting if you have ever traveled to Israel. At least I know before I ever went there, I thought of it as a pretty dusty desert land. You get to Galilee, and it is a beautiful, beautiful, rich agricultural area. It's like you're moving from one world into another. And this is where Jesus is, at the top of the Lake of Galilee in Capernaum.
And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Let's take a look at that, and then we'll go on to, so what was spoken?
Yeah, very wonderful that if you ever get that chance, like I said, to travel up there, the city of Capernaum is pretty well preserved. They've done a lot of archaeological work there, and you'll see a home which was a Christian church. Many believe that it was the home of Peter, You see the synagogue, the actual synagogue that's standing. It was not during Jesus' time. That was Crusader time. But underneath you see the base, which was actual during Jesus' time. And as you think about Capernaum, you think about how that is sort of the gateway to the northeast and all areas north and east of there. This is where Matthew the tax collector would have been, collecting Roman taxes. This is real close to Bethsaida, and we'll talk about that in a minute as he calls his first disciples.
So that was what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned.
Beautiful words. And as you look at that, you think of Matthew again, who is always quoting Scripture. He's always quoting the Old Testament because he wants to show that the gospel of Jesus Christ is authoritative for the Jewish people. But then he also is trying to point to them that the message was not just for Jews, it was also for Gentiles, Galilee of the Gentiles. And you think of, when you hear that, the shadow of death, you can't help but think of Psalm 23, you know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and that picture of light and darkness. Jesus is the light, and he dispels the darkness. And that message, not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well.
Anything else up through verse 16, Pastor?
Just as you look at that, you remember the beautiful Galilee of the Gentiles. You remember that this is an entirely different ministry. This is where rabbis and their disciples typically gathered up in the Galilee area, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'"
You have the same message that John the Baptist was proclaiming. Repent, it's time, because now the kingdom is beginning. And it's very interesting as we look a little further into the text, and it talks about him preaching. It talks about him preaching or proclaiming the gospel. So it's not just the law message. He's proclaiming the good news, the evangelism, that Greek word euangelizo. And that's what you have there. He's proclaiming the evangel. He's proclaiming the message of himself as the Savior.
Looking over these first few verses, 12 through 17. Pastor, anything else before we go on to the next section?
Well, there would be a lot that we could talk about, particularly if you're thinking about the area and what went on there. But I think we can cover that in the next section.
All right, let's take a look at verse 18 and following. "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." All right, so while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting nets into the sea because they're fishermen. That's what you do when you're a fisherman.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it's such a natural story. You can just picture it, can't you, as Jesus is walking along. What I think is amazing is that, you know, this is by Bethsaida. Bethsaida is this tiny, tiny little community, and yet he calls four people to be his disciples from Bethsaida. He calls James and John, and he calls Peter and Andrew, and it's just amazing when you think about that and the kind of impact that they had in the world. You notice he doesn't, it isn't the typical kind of thing. In the way it was with rabbis and their disciples chose their rabbi. They'd come to the rabbi and they'd say, "I want to follow you." With Jesus, he calls us. It's not what we do, it's what he does. He calls us and says, "Follow me." And you notice that they immediately follow him. They immediately switch from the lives that they knew to a much greater life, fishing for men. Beautiful, beautiful words there.
Yeah, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Yeah, and they immediately follow him, and he makes them fishers of men. They become his disciples, and you know that disciples always. It wasn't just learning. I think sometimes we have the idea that disciples were just learners. You know, they were students. But a real disciple wanted to do what the rabbi did, and that's he calls them to follow him and do what he does. And in the same way as he does this, he's inviting us to discipleship.
He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Is this, in a sense, and the fact that they do follow, is this in a sense a performative statement? When you know, just as when. When God speaks, it is, you know, something happens. He says, "Let there be light," and there is light. Jesus says, "This is my body," and it is his body. The Lord bless you and keep you. And in those very words, he does bless us and keep us.
Mm-hmm.
Here he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what happens? They follow.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, it's all Jesus and what he does, isn't it? It's never our performance. It's never our actions. It's what he accomplishes in us as he teaches them and prepares them to do what he did. It's interesting, you know, you think about when Peter is in the boat and Jesus comes walking out to them at night. He says, "If it's you, let me get out of the boat." And that's a disciple. A disciple wants to do what his master does. So if Jesus is walking on the water, Peter wants to walk on the water.
And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Yeah, that's the exact same thing he did with the first disciples. And I think it's kind of important to note here because I think there's a lot of Christians who feel a little bit guilty that they haven't, you know, gone into ministry or gone into teaching or something like that. This is the message here is not that you have to leave your occupation. What it is that you now have a calling in life which is greater than anything else. I had a great example of that. A guy I heard about who was on a plane, and he was talking to somebody else, and he said, What do you do? And the guy said, "Well, what you mean, my vocation or my avocation?" And he thought about it, and he said, "I guess your vocation." And the other man said, "My vocation is I'm a Christian. I have been called by Jesus Christ to follow him, to serve him, to share him with everything I think and do and say, and then to be with him in heaven. My avocation is accounting." And I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Interesting. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Daniel Kelm of Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida. We're in Matthew chapter 4 today, verses 12 through 25. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up at verse 23. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Thank you. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Daniel Kelm from Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida, just outside the Villages, and serving the saints there, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and gathering together in that vibrant congregation. Pastor, we're about to go on to verse 23 here in Matthew chapter 4. Anything else up through verse 22 before we go ahead?
Let's get to the rest of it.
All right. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people.
So this is very exciting. This is the start of his ministry. He is, that the Greek word there, peripateo, and that's what he did. He was a peripatetic. He was walking back and forth across the land, sharing the good news. And it leads us into his ministry, and it's threefold. He's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing. I think it's kind of important to think about the miracles and remember that, first of all, he's God, so he can do miracles, of course, but he heals every disease. I think that says something about some of the modern-day healers who can't heal everybody, and they'll say that a person, his faith is not strong enough, or something got in the way of that healing occurring. This is God. This is Jesus, and he heals every single disease. It's not a matter of somebody's faith being strong enough. It's a matter of God who can do everything. I think that's kind of interesting to note.
So he heals every disease and every affliction among the people, and his fame spread throughout all Syria.
And that's the point of, miracles do not create faith, but miracles draw people to the message. And you always see this when miracles occur, great crowds gather. And you can well imagine that. Jesus is healing all these people, and word about him spreads, and they come so that they can hear him proclaim the gospel. And that's what it's all about.
And he heals every disease, every affliction. His fame spreads throughout Syria. And what do? They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics. And what does he do? He healed them.
Same thing would happen today, wouldn't it? If Jesus were here physically, visibly among us, and was healing everybody, you'd draw large crowds, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would think so.
and it's just beautiful to see this because it's the start of his ministry, and you see the whole setup for what he's going to be doing up until the time he takes our sins away on the cross.
And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan.
So you have not only now Israelites, but you have this message going beyond that. You have the Decapolis. That was the 10 cities, the Gentile cities, Greek cities. They were all politically allied because they were exposed to everything to the east of Israel. And all except Scythopolis were cities which were east of the Jordan. And so that message is getting out there already as well.
Looking over this text as a whole, we've come to the end of our text, but looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this as we look at it as a whole?
I hope that as people read this, they get very excited because this is the start of an entirely new thing. This is the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom that is now going to go out to the world. And I think any time someone reads scripture, you don't just read it as a history lesson, though there's lots of history right here, and it's teaching us and telling us how Jesus began his ministry. But I think you have to ask, what is God saying to me? What does he want me to know through this? How is he comforting me? What kind of actions does he want me to take? And so you see the message of repent, and that's something for Christians that should be a daily practice. You see the inclusiveness of the gospel, and that should be what we do as well. I get very frustrated as a pastor sometimes because people want things in church just to be the way they want them to be, and they don't stop to think this is a message which is meant for everybody. And so I've got to put myself aside so that others can hear it. I had a music director years ago who had somebody come up to him after the worship service and said, I really didn't like the music today. And he responded, with all due respect, we weren't singing for you. I think that kind of puts things into perspective. But this is just beautiful stuff, and it just encourages us to hear the good news. When it says he proclaims the gospel, the evangel, that's the news that stokes our hearts and makes us free and makes us want to share him with others and makes us want to be his disciples, people who are his followers, people who sit at his feet and learn, and not just sit at his feet and learn, but also want to do what Jesus does because he's our master.
Hmm. Indeed. Thanks be to God.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, it's been a pleasure to study God's Word with you. Thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us dig into Matthew chapter 4 today.
Thank you for inviting me, Andy.
God bless you and all the saints there at Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your Tuesday morning and morning prayer on the way in the 9 o'clock hour. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.